NBC's Inter-American University of the Air presents Chapter 8 of Lands of the Free. The story of Francisco de Miranda, soldier, statesman, and patriot of Venezuela. A story told more than 100 years ago in the voice of Miranda himself.
Hail to starboard! Hail to starboard! Ensign, English!
There's a sail to starboard, Captain. 2 points off starboard bow.
I see her, helmsman.
Shall I change course, sir?
No, we'll outrun her.
All hands! Up with you! Make sail! Unfurl cargolet!
On that ship bound for Spain was one Francisco de Miranda.
And we are bound for Spain. How many days will follow while we're bound for Spain? How many years will follow? Or does a patriot count the years when he should spend each day planning, plotting, hoping that he can soon fight again? Oh, how everlasting this eternity of ocean. Endless, unmarked either by time or space or by the graves of men. One could say, somewhere behind us, possibly 1,000 years behind, there lies the land of Venezuela. Venezuela. And I, here in a cabin on a ship. Here's the way to lose identity. One man on a little ship upon an endless ocean. Identity. Identity is nothing. But lose your personality. No, never. Look at yourself, Francisco de Miranda. There's a mirror on the cabin wall. There you are. Your face, your eyes, the same high forehead and strong chin. My name is Miranda. Francisco de Miranda. I'm one of the greatest figures who ever trod this little globe. As I look in the mirror and I hear you speaking back to me, my friend Miranda, all the background is peopled by my friends, the rulers of this globe, and I can hear them speak to me.
My name is Gregory Potemkin, Prince of Taurus. I'm proud to be your friend, Count Miranda, and to sponsor you in Russia.
I am the Duke of Wellington, Colonel Miranda, a soldier like yourself.
Senor Miranda, I am Thomas Jefferson, like you, a fighter for democracy and the rights of man.
I'm William Pitt, Prime Minister. Popham's my name, the British Admiral.
I am Napoleon.
Count Miranda, this way. I am presenting you to Her Imperial Majesty, Catherine of Russia.
We are honored, Count Miranda, that you are visiting our court.
Wellington, the Iron Duke. Pitt, the Prime Minister. The English Admiral, Lord Cochrane, all that crowd. Of course I knew them. Names, 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 figures on my chessboard. Very well, my good Miranda, my reflection looking back at me. A man is known by the friends he chooses, and a man is known by the people who choose him. Ask these friends of mine about my character. Ask the nobles who sponsored me. Did I say nobility? Oh, no. Royalty. If I hadn't had the proper stature of a man, would this have happened? In Russia, at winter of 1787, I'd been in Sevastopol with my friend Gregory Potemkin, Prince of Tauris, who had recently conquered the Crimea. Prince Potemkin took me to Kiev. Of course, I met the Tsarina, the Empress Catherine. Catherine the Great.
Count Miranda?
Your Imperial Majesty.
Potemkin tells me you have decided to stay with us in Russia. Only a very short time.
Your Imperial Majesty is adamant. He insists on returning to the Americas and on trying to free the Spanish colonies.
Indeed.
Your Imperial Majesty, what His Highness Prince Potemkin tells you is not only my burning desire, it is the moving spirit that puts life in these limbs and direction in my mind.
Miranda, in this world of men, I have learned to be practical. I understand from the Spanish minister that your country has put a price upon your head. Spain intends to put you before the Inquisition.
Your Imperial Majesty, Spain is not my country.
No.
No, my country is Venezuela.
I understand. But to return so soon...
Miranda, Her Imperial Majesty wishes you to remain with us. We respect you as a man and as a scholar. We value your courage.
And your companionship.
I'm grateful, Your Majesty.
Miranda, there are good offices in the Russian army for a man of your stature.
Will you stay, Miranda?
Of course, you will.
Your most gracious Majesty, I have work to do.
Must I tell you that when you leave, there will be an emptiness in the heart of this nation and in the heart of Russia's sovereign?
Your Majesty, in my heart I shall carry with me always the memory of Russia and of her sovereign.
Very well. I see that I must send my protection with you, as a mother would, I suppose. Miranda, there's a little of the fool in you. Potemkin.
Your Majesty.
Give Miranda my letter of credit. You'll need money. Men of your turn of mind always have a need of money. This letter of credit will be honored in any nation at any Russian embassy. And when you are hard-pressed, for you will be, Miranda, you are a rebel. You'll need asylum. I guarantee your protection in any Russian embassy for as long as you may require.
Your Imperial Majesty, my gratitude is infinite and everlasting. Like the sound of the sea against a ship. There's something ominous in the rush of water. How's the weather out? Good sky, sun, fresh breeze, but there's a little cloud. Cloud on the horizon. Miranda, stop grinning at me from the mirror. All right, I look away. I'll talk to myself. Anyone can make a mistake in life. Every great man has made some mistake. Consider Napoleon last year invading Russia. He should have known Russia was too large to take. And that retreat a year ago from Moscow. Well, can I be blamed then for a little mistake long ago when I was very young? Cloud is growing larger. There's an irony in this. People don't often forget a small mistake. With time, it takes on importance it never had. Out of nothing like that cloud, it may cover the entire sky. It's only right for a man to try to justify himself. Let's look at the facts. Here I am, Francisco de Miranda, born 1750 in the Spanish colony of Venezuela, a soldier under the flag of Spain. I fought the Moors in Africa, and for my courage I was made a captain. Then came the revolution of the 13 British colonies. Spain was their ally with France. We sailed for the Caribbean, and I fought the English in Florida for the independence of the United States. For my valor, I was made a colonel. A man isn't made a colonel for nothing. I was then important enough for my general, D'Ahigal, commission me, the officer who would deal with the English for the exchange of prisoners. Very well. I left Cuba for the British island of Jamaica. I concluded the business of exchanging prisoners. But the general had also given me another mission, a secret mission. I talked to an English shopkeeper, Philip Allwood. We talked in secret. Mr. Allwood, I am prepared to return to Cuba, and now I'm ready to finish my business with you. You're certain you were not followed here to my room?
Colonel Miranda, when a man enters the profession of espionage, he has to be certain that he's not followed.
Very well. You have the information I desire?
Everything.
On paper?
In the code we have agreed upon.
Let me have it.
But you're part of the bargain, Colonel Miranda.
I will keep my part of the bargain, Mr. Allwood.
Good. Now, here's the information. The exact number of English vessels here at Jamaica, the size of the squadrons expected from Europe, the number of veteran soldiers here, the number of militia, topographical plans of this island, location of fortifications, number of cannon, and even, Colonel Miranda, the number of barrels of powder in the magazine. Here, it's all written down.
You performed a good task, Allwood. Spain will have use for this information.
Now for my pay.
I'm ready to pay you.
But not in gold, Colonel Miranda. I want something better than money.
And that is?
A business transaction.
So?
I have a certain quantity of English linen. I can get a good price for it in Cuba, if I can get it there. As my reward for the information I have given you, I want you to take my linen on board your warship, smuggle it into Cuba, and put it in a warehouse under my name.
Very well, Allwood. Have your linen at the dock by midnight. You reach Cuba, your reward will be waiting for you. Allwood's reward would be waiting for him. My reward was waiting for me. The information I'd gotten from this spy I gave to my friend and commander, General Cajigal, and what was the gratitude of my country? The general turned to me and said,
I'm sorry to have to say this, Miranda, but there seems to be a little difficulty here.
Difficulty, General Cajigal?
Oh, I know you had to pay that English spy Allwood something for his information, and it's important information, too. Don't misunderstand me, Colonel Miranda. You did a magnificent undertaking. But you see, you brought in that linen without paying duty, and civil authorities here in Cuba call it smuggling.
Smuggling? But General Cajigal, we're at war. What difference would it make if I paid the spy money or let him bring in his merchandise without paying duty?
But you see, the civil authorities...
Civil authorities? Again, I say we're at war. I carried out the instructions you gave me as an officer of the army on a military mission. The civil authorities have nothing whatsoever to say about
now,
this.
My old friend, be calm. Look, Colonel, you and I, we know it wasn't smuggling. We know that what you did was in the line of duty. But you see, it looks like smuggling. The civil authorities insist on bringing you to trial.
Bringing me to trial?
Nothing to worry about. I'll be here. I'll explain everything. I'll speak for you. Meanwhile, you, Colonel
I'll
Miranda...
tell them what I think about it when I stand trial. I'll tell them what the English would have thought about it if they'd caught me. They'd have shot me as a spy when I stand trial.
No, I wouldn't advise that, Miranda.
You wouldn't advise what?
I wouldn't appear at the trial if I were you.
But if I'm not there, how can I defend myself?
I'll do that. If you speak, you'll probably upset everything. You're hot-tempered, you know. Leave things to me.
Well, what'll I do?
Well, why don't you go to the United States?
To the United States?
You have friends there. And you can enjoy a little vacation until the whole matter clears up.
A little vacation in the United States until the whole matter would clear up. And I was talked into it. Well, I had friends in the United States. John Hancock, George Washington, Alexander Hamilton, Thomas Jefferson. They talked of liberty. Rights of the common man, no taxation without representation, equality, democracy. Well, I'd fought on their side in their revolution. And in my own colony of Venezuela, we were suffering from the same sort of tyranny from a foreign king. While I waited to hear the outcome of my trial, I took a tour on the battlefields of the American Revolution. My guide was General Henry Knox. One day in New England, General Knox was showing me the points of interest at a battlefield.
We were stationed across that stream, Colonel Miranda, with four small field pieces. Meanwhile, our cavalry hid themselves in that little woods. As the enemy came marching down that road...
Excuse me, General Knox.
What is it, boy?
Back at the tavern, sir, they told me that out on the battlefield I could find a man named Colonel Miranda.
Oh, that's this gentleman.
You, sir?
Yes, boy. What do you want?
Well, the post was just written in, sir, and the rider, he had this message for you, and he said I was to go find you right away. It was important, he said.
Give me the message.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Here, boy. To you.
Thank you, sir. Oh, sir, thank you.
Will you pardon me, General Knox? This is the handwriting of my commander, General Cajigal.
Of course, Colonel Miranda. Go right ahead.
This is a letter I've been waiting for.
My old friend Miranda, I bring you serious news. The judge at your trial has found you guilty. You're deprived of your commission in the army. You're sentenced to pay a heavy fine. You're to be banished to the fortress prison in North Africa for 10 years.
Wait, Colonel Miranda, there's something wrong? You're as pale as death.
General Knox, you see the death of loyalty, slain by ingratitude. I've borne arms for Spain and for my king. Repeatedly, I've been commended for my valor in the face of odds. Recently, on a secret mission, I risked my life and my honor on the chance of being shot as a spy. And now, civil authorities have twisted what I did for my nation and made it appear to be a crime. Very well. If it's a crime to risk your life and your honor for your nation, then Spain is no longer my nation. May the Lord who is in heaven hear me and defend me. My nation is henceforth Venezuela, and I take my oath that I shall live for her and free her forever from the ingratitude and tyranny of Spain. One little cloud on the horizon stirring a tempest. Yes, yes, I stirred a tempest in this world. But there's always the rumor of what they called my crime. Well, now I was to fight for freedom. To give my people freedom, there was a great deal I had to learn. Business of government, of running a nation, a matter of foreign relations. To understand foreign countries, you visit them and study them. I went to Europe. There's a strange thing about rumor. It travels with you and always a little in advance. In England...
Your Excellency, the Prime Minister, I make a formal demand upon you for the arrest of one Colonel Miranda. He has been judged guilty of smuggling.
In France...
You accept Miranda as a nobleman. Back in Spain, we consider him a common smuggler.
In Austria, Turkey, Greece, Italy.
But you are his countryman.
Nevertheless, I must tell you he is neither a count nor a colonel. Merely a common smuggler.
I will not believe it.
I refuse to believe it.
Always these voices, voices hounding me before my friends, spreading rumor, distrust, fear.
I can tell you a story about that man.
I do not know how far I would trust him.
I'd be afraid to go too far.
Voices, fantasies, figments of the mind, rumor, distrust, fear. Characters of my stature brush those things aside, intent on what they have to do. Well, I was ready. Now to find help in starting revolution. Russia was my personal friend, but it was not the place to find men and arms and ships and money for a revolution. But England. England hated Spain. Oh, those English. They were the ones whom I admired. Statesmen, that's what they were. My friend William Pitt, for example, the great Prime Minister. Well, I went to see Pitt. The British Admiral Sir Home Popham was in his office. Pitt introduced me.
It's exceedingly valuable to each of you, gentlemen, I believe, to meet the other. Our Admiral Sir Home Popham.
Sir?
And Colonel Miranda of Venezuela.
Your servant, Admiral Popham.
Pleasure, Colonel Miranda.
Admiral Popham, Colonel Miranda plans to liberate the Spanish colonies.
An ambitious plan, Mr. Pitt?
It is. He asks your help.
But not, sir, without reward.
Oh?
If England will aid me in liberating the Spanish colonies, I propose to sign a treaty of commerce with England. A treaty which would bring prosperity to the colonies, and at the same time, untold fortune to the merchants and the government of England.
Well, what do you think of it, Admiral?
What can I think of it but one thing, Mr. Pitt? The purpose of the British Navy is to open the world to the trade of the British merchantmen. I'm for it.
Good, good. Colonel Miranda, sit down, sir. We'll plan our expedition to the New World to free the colonies from Spain forever. Sit down, Admiral. Here, we have pen and paper.
Things were starting splendidly. Men and ships, that's what we needed. We planned how we would use them. That was the year 1803. Unfortunately, however, there was Napoleon. England was at war with Napoleon and had to use my expedition against the French. The next year, 1804, Admiral Popham's navy captured four Spanish vessels on their way home from the colonies. And England was at war with Spain, too. The English Navy against the combined fleets of France and Spain. And then, in 1805, Trafalgar. Now was our opportunity. England, mistress of the oceans. Now was the time to attack. Quickly, I crossed to the United States to talk with my old friend Thomas Jefferson, who was president. By February, in the year 1806, in New York Harbor...
Hey, nice ship he's got here. Good lines. Look at the rake of that mast.
Yeah, who's got her?
A fellow named Francisco de Miranda. He's going down to Venezuela and start a revolution to free the Spanish colonies. He's here now in New York, recruiting men.
Oh, what's our government say about him recruiting United States citizens?
Well, President Jefferson says he can't help Miranda officially. Mm. You know, international law or something.
Yeah.
But Jefferson gives Miranda the go-ahead unofficially. And it's all right with the government for us to enlist.
Well, in that case...
Well, in that case, I'm going on board and enlist right now.
Me too.
Come on, you fellas. Miranda helped us when we were fighting for freedom. Here's our chance to help him.
That's the talk.
We'll make the whole American hemisphere free from the tyranny of Europe.
Fine men, those Yankee fighters. Patriots and brave men, every one of them. We sailed on the 2nd of February, 1806, and made for the Caribbean. On the way, I taught them military tactics. Early in June, we arrived at Barbados. There I met an Englishman and one of the most noble gentlemen and patriots on this side of the world or the other. The English Admiral, Lord Cochrane. I explained to Cochrane what I was about.
A very interesting story, Colonel Miranda.
Well, that's the size of it, Lord Cochrane. I have three ships and a worthy handful of men. I'm going to free Venezuela.
Your handful of men will have more than their hands full, Colonel Miranda. In Venezuela, you'll find a strong army of the King of Spain.
I'll have more men, sir, if you'll allow me to recruit here in Barbados and in Trinidad.
I don't doubt that. But you realize that if I allowed you to recruit Englishmen to fight against Spain, there would be certain international complications.
Lord Cochrane, may I tell you something in utmost confidence?
Yes?
My campaign has been planned in London. It has the backing of the English government. Admiral Popham has been ordered to aid me with a fleet. That order came from no one less than the Prime Minister himself, Mr. William Pitt.
Colonel Miranda.
Yes, sir.
In utmost confidence, I must tell you what I have learned today. Mr. Pitt is dead.
Pitt dead?
Colonel Miranda, you're suddenly pale.
It's nothing, nothing. I'm fighting for a cause too great to be defeated by disappointment. I will fight alone.
Oh, no, you won't.
What?
Do you think I will see courage like yours go into an unequal battle? Colonel Miranda, you say Pitt wanted this. That is enough for me. I have seven ships of war. They are yours, sir, and they will sail with you at once. And when you need more aid, I shall be waiting.
There was a noble gentleman, Lord Cochrane. Well... We recruited, we made an army, and we sailed to Venezuela, reached the Bay of Coro, attacked the Spaniards, and drove them from the beach. Success. I stood there on the blessed soil of Venezuela. My land, it would be free. But the Spaniards formed to attack us again. We needed more men. Quickly, I wrote to three English governors in the Caribbean, Lord Cochrane, Admiral Dacres, and Coote at Jamaica. Where were the 5,000 soldiers I'd been promised? Where was that fleet of seven warships that had brought me here?
Excuse me. Where is General Miranda?
I am General Miranda.
Captain Dundas is my name, General Miranda. I'm sent by Lord Cochrane.
Captain Dundas, where are the 5,000 men?
I'm sorry, sir. The new Prime Minister...
Refuse me? Where are the seven ships Lord Cochrane gave me?
Orders from London. Recall them.
Orders from London? But why? Why?
I have a letter for you, sir, from Lord Cochrane.
Give me the letter.
Yes, sir.
My friend Miranda, I think it proper to inform you that by new instructions from England, I'm directed to limit assistance to you, to prevent aid from being landed to you, and to send Captain Dundas with a fast ship
to help you escape from Venezuela. It is with deep regret. Yes. Yes, they failed me. I escaped. The battle was done. That's what one earns from trusting others too well. But I'd been there in Venezuela with a hope of freedom for my countrymen. They knew I would return. They raised the banner of revolution by themselves. And I returned alone. General in full command, they made me. Supreme dictator. Chief of state. Venezuela was mine. And I was Venezuela. Stop staring back at me from the mirror. You're nothing, you with the wild white hair. I am Miranda. I'm still Miranda.
Open the door, Miranda. Let me in the cabin.
Oh. You, captain of the ship.
I brought you something to eat. Even you are allowed something to eat.
I'm not hungry.
You'll eat.
You'll tell me nothing, I suppose, of news from Venezuela?
Why should you care?
I care.
Well, I hear that a certain Simon Bolivar now leads your armies against our Spanish king and will probably free Venezuela, just as you failed. There's your food, Miranda. Eat it. Why should you care about Venezuela?
I'm a Venezuelan, sir.
You're a captive on a ship bound for Spain, where you'll die in a dungeon, Miranda, with a chain about your neck.
There is a storm abroad. I brewed that storm. Now let it break with all the fury of my abandoned soul. For in that righteous thunder, there is liberty.
You have been listening to the story of Francisco de Miranda, fighter for freedom, patriot of Venezuela and of the Americas. Chapter 8 of Lands of the Free, written by Stuart Ayers, presented by NBC's Inter-American University of the Air. Francisco de Miranda was played by Arnold Moss. The adapted textbook of the Inter-American University is Latin America by Preston James, published by Northrop Lee and Shepard. Would you like to learn more about the fascinating background to this story and the stories to follow? We've prepared an interesting booklet that you may have at cost price. Send 25 cents in coin to Box 100, Station F, New York City, for your copy of Lands of the Free, Handbook Volume 1. May I repeat that address, please? Send 25 cents in coin to Box 100, Station F, New York City, for your copy of Lands of the Free, Handbook Volume 1. This program has come to you from New York.